Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Almost daily, the newspapers or television tells of some young people who have committed violent crimes. They either drive under the influence of alcohol or other dangerous drugs, engage in sexual assault, rob a business establishment to obtain money to buy drugs, abuse and even kill members of their own families, or engage in other illegal or destructive behavior. More rarely, but not altogether uncommon, young people kill animals and sacrifice them to Satan. David St. Clair's book, Say You Love Satan, tells of two boys in upstate New York who sacrificed a companion to Satan. The young men were out camping. One of the boys kept telling his friend, "Say you love Satan." The young man refused to say that and instead said, "No, I love my mother." When the young man would not confess love for Satan, one of the young men plunged a knife into his body and murdered him. Page 11. In southwest Missouri, four or five young college students took baseball bats and beat one of their classmates to death. When the police asked the young men why they had killed their companion, they said they just wanted to see how it felt to kill someone. We would prefer to think that these gruesome stories are rare, but the truth is, they occur on a regular basis. Because such brutality is not rare, either among young people or among older people, we might be tempted to think that all of America's young people are drug addicts, sexual predators, murderers, and drunks. The truth is, millions of America's young people are law-abiding, respectful, and devout. Tragically, in most cases, it is the loud-mouthed, ugly-spirited, and rebellious youth who get all the publicity. When our young people go to church, do well in school, obey and respect their parents, and stay out of trouble with the law, very few people consider that news. And we know that good news does not usually sell newspapers or make the evening news on television. So because the news about our young people is often tragic, we may get the impression that all of our children and young people are rascals and rogues. Nothing could be further from the truth. It has been my privilege for many years to work in churches, in high schools, and in colleges with young people. As you would expect, I have had many young people in my classes who had little or no respect for anyone, including themselves. Some of these young people got into trouble with the law and had to spend time in prison. But the vast majority of these children and young people were serious-minded, dedicated to succeeding in their chosen professions or occupations, and were a genuine joy to know and to have in my classrooms. I often meet some of these former students who are active in the church and have done well in their life's work. I'm grateful that I have been honored and privileged to work with such outstanding people. I sincerely hope that I have been helpful to them. I know they have been an inspiration to me. The Apostle Paul had a group of young men who worked with him in the spreading of the gospel. Paul's letters to two of these young men, Titus and Timothy, urged young Christians to be examples of godly living. He wrote to Titus, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he who is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Titus 2, 6-8. The Greek word rendered pattern is the word generally translated model or example. Paul wanted young men in the church to so live that others might see Christ living in them and want to imitate their example. In his first letter to Timothy, Paul outlined specific areas in which Timothy was to be an example to others. "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. He did not want anyone to despise Timothy's commitment to the cause of Christ just because he was a young man. The word despise literally means to think down on. Jesus used that word when he explained, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Matthew 6:24. Young people may have to work extra hard to prevent others from despising their youth, but it will pay handsome dividends in the long run. We have known some young people who conducted themselves in such a way as to bring doubt on the sincerity of all young people. As you know from your study of the Bible, examples are very significant for both old and young. The word example in this verse from 1 Timothy comes from the Greek typos, a word that appears 16 times in the New Testament. Three verses containing that word should help us to understand its meaning. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk so as to have us for an example." Philippians 3:17. Paul listed a number of incidents in the history of the Israelites, such as being baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, eating the same spiritual food, and drinking the same spiritual drink. And then he said, "Now all these things happened unto them for an example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." 1 Corinthians 10:2-6. The Apostle Peter urged the elders of the church to be examples unto the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. According to these passages, Christians are to set the pattern for other Christians and for the people of the world. Two other meaningful Greek words are translated example. One of these words, hupogrammos, literally means to write under or to copy. The word appears only one time in the New Testament. The word does not appear in sources contemporary with the New Testament. Peter wrote concerning Jesus, "For hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow in his steps." 1 Peter 2:21. The other Greek word is hupodegma, and appears six times in the New Testament. The word literally means to show under. Two examples will have to suffice. After Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, he said to them, "You call me Master and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you." John 13:13-15. All of these biblical passages show just how vital good examples are for all of us. The King James Version reads, "Be an example of the believers." The text literally reads, "Be an example to them who believe." Paul does not rule out young people's being examples to unbelievers, but he does stress in this context young Christians' obligation to fellow believers. I know Christian examples have always been vital in the church and in the nation, but our generation may provide one of the greatest needs for having good examples, both by the young and by those who are older. So I urge every person under my voice to live New Testament Christianity. What a difference dedicated young people could make in our world if they always live for God Almighty. Our world could be transformed for good in one generation. Paul next stresses the areas in which young Christians are to be examples. He first lists the need to be an example in word. He is urging young people and older ones to be careful about their speech. The reason for that ought to be obvious even to a casual reader. But let us look at other passages relating to our words. Do you remember what Jesus said about our words? "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle or careless word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Matthew 12:34-37. Young people hear filthy speech in their communities and on television, which makes it very difficult for them to keep their mouths clean. Filthy words that at one time were never heard in homes or around businesses are now very common. If young people want to have an influence for good, they must begin by carefully guarding their tongues. If they are using filthy or suggestive words, they must purge their hearts and tongues of the perverse and the impure. The words of the book of Proverbs were not addressed primarily to young people, but they surely apply. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I am only joking." Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He who hates dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks fair, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Proverbs 26:19-25. The Bible has much to say about lying. A few verses will make that truth plain. King David said very tersely, "I hate and abhor lying, but I love thy law." Psalm 119:163. King Solomon wrote, "These six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart which devises mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and he who sows discord among brethren." Proverbs 6:16-19. The New Testament is just as explicit as the Old. Paul charged the Ephesians, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Ephesians 4:25. Our words are judged, not only by not lying, not gossiping, not using foul language, and not taking the Lord's name in vain, but also by using our tongues to teach the gospel and to praise the name of God Almighty. James writes concerning the inconsistent use of the tongue, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." James 3:9-10. So our young people and our older ones as well should use their words to bring lost souls into the kingdom of God and to build them up in the most holy faith. What a great blessing and honor to be able to speak on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will surely hold us accountable for the use of our tongues. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:15. The King James Version not only says that young people are to be examples in word, but it also teaches that we are to be examples in conversation. Our modern word conversation means communicating by using words. But the Greek word translated conversation means much more than that. The Greek word anastrophe means conduct or manner of life. Of course, conduct includes how we use our tongues. But the word means much more than controlling the tongue. Conduct would also include where one goes, the people with whom one associates, what one does for a living, how a person behaves himself in his home and in every other place. Many of our young people go to places of entertainment that promote ungodly and destructive behavior. Much of what goes on in these places is seductive and violent. The moral values they support are on the level of animal behavior. Christian young people cannot afford to go to such places. Tragically, some young people say they go to such places to try to influence others to believe and to obey the gospel. We certainly must do all within our power to lead others to Christ. But going to a dance hall or a beer parlor is not likely to convince others to obey the Lord. Worldly people know that Christians ought not to be in such places. They often ask, "What is a Christian doing in a place like this?" Sometimes it is argued that Jesus went to places of ill repute. Jesus did associate with men and women who had bad reputations, but there is no evidence he ever visited places where drinking, carousing, and sexual misconduct took place. The gospel of Christ is designed to bring people into the Lord's kingdom, but Christians must be careful where they go. They could easily be contaminated by their association with lewd people. All of us know they could be, and often are. Many of our splendid young people are Christians, but their parents are not. In such cases, young people have a wonderful opportunity to exemplify what true Christianity means. Their conduct in the home may show their parents and siblings what being a genuine Christian is. All of us know cases where children were so devoted to Christ that they led members of their family to obey the gospel. I am thinking of a young woman I was privileged to baptize into Christ more than 20 years ago. After she obeyed the gospel, she began to invite her friends and family members to attend the services of the church. In addition, she began to work at learning as much about the Bible as she could. When she got a little older, she began to teach classes and do other work for the Lord. Her parents were both members of the church, but very indifferent to the work of the church. Through her influence, her parents began to attend services more regularly. But here is the tragic part. Her parents eventually tired of attending services. They would take trips on the Lord's Day or engage in other activities which kept their daughter away from church. Eventually, the young woman lost interest in the work of the Lord and quit attending services altogether. There are many areas of life that young people have to watch very closely, but none of greater importance than the people with whom they associate. If they associate with young people who drink, use other drugs, take the Lord's name in vain, rebel against their parents and against school teachers, use filthy language, and engage in other inappropriate behavior, they will have difficulty maintaining their commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's reason for warning the Corinthians. Be not deceived. Evil communication or companionship corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Old dog Trey would not have gone astray had it not been for his companions. One of our greatest concerns should be the young people our children date. Thus far in our discussion of young people's behavior, I have primarily emphasized the negative aspects of their conduct. But we must not forget about their opportunities for doing good and for influencing their companions to obey our Lord and to be faithful in their attendance at all services of the church. Worldly young people may have no interest in going to worship services, but if they see dedicated young Christians attending all the services, the worldly young people may start attending the worship services themselves. This is one area that is of vital importance to Christian young people. Those Christian young people may not know enough about the Bible to teach their companions, but if they can inspire their young friends to attend all services, unbelievers will have an opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ and His message of salvation. So let me plead with the young people in my audience to be faithful in attending all services of the church, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening Bible study. There is certainly more to Christianity than attending church services, but such attendance is of vital importance, not only for our own spiritual growth, but to influence others to become Christian. What wonderful opportunities young people have to make a real difference in our world. Paul urges young Christians to be examples of the believers in charity. Most students of the Bible know, even if they're not Greek scholars, that the Greek word translated charity is agape. In almost all other passages in the Bible, the Greek is rendered love. Charity is not a bad translation, but love more fully expresses the meaning of the original. The Greek word agape involves loving unconditionally, just as God loves. While the Bible nowhere defines the word love, it does tell us how love behaved. Will you please listen to what Paul says about the behavior of love? Love is long-suffering and kind. Love envies not. Love does not vaunt itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself in unseemly ways, seeks not her own. That is, love is not selfish, is not angered or provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 and 13. The question I must ask you now is, in what areas are our young people to be examples of love? Obviously, love for God must be first on the list, both for young people and for older ones. A lawyer among the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" Our Lord answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22:35-40. And what does it mean to love God with all our hearts, and with all our souls, and with all our minds? Is that not Christ's way of saying, you must love God with all you are and with all you have? Jesus explained in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. The verb seek is present active imperative and means keep on seeking. It is not enough to learn what we must do to become Christians. We must keep on seeking His will so long as we live on this earth. We must learn God's will in order to do it. The absolute necessity of doing the will of God could hardly be plainer than in these words from Jesus Christ. "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus next gives an example of a man who builds his house on a rock. Floods, winds, and rain beat upon the house, but the house does not fall because it was built on a rock. Matthew 7:24-25. The man who built his house on the rock is the one who hears the Lord's instructions and does them with all his heart. If we want to follow the example of Jesus Christ, we must strive daily to do the will of God, not merely because God commands it, but because of our love for Him. Jesus told the Jews on one occasion, "I do always those things that please Him." John 8:29. He informed His disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:15. Surely Jesus did not mean we do not love Him if we fail to keep His commandments. My friends, you know that is what He meant because that is what He said. John's first great epistle emphasizes the same truth. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." 1 John 5:2-3. If young people are going to be examples of the believers in love, they must show their love for God by doing what He requires them to do. If they are not Christians, but have a burning desire to be an example to all who believe, they must render initial obedience to the gospel. That means they must hear the word of the Lord. They cannot believe if they do not hear. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. The author of Hebrews writes, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him." Hebrews 11:6. If you have ever wondered if the faith in the book of Hebrews and in other biblical books necessarily includes obedience, please listen to these words from the same chapter in Hebrews. "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Hebrews 11:8. The main clause of that sentence is very simple and powerful. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Would his faith have been remembered for almost 4,000 years if he had not obeyed? Would we refer to Abraham as the father of the faithful if he had attempted to live by faith alone? You do not have to be a serious Bible student to answer that question. Faith in God and in Jesus Christ must lead us to repent of our alien sins. Paul told the Athenian philosophers, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men, in that He has raised Him from the dead." Acts 17:30-31. Repentance is an act of obedient faith, the only kind of faith that will save. Faith must lead us to confess our faith before men. Jesus told His disciples, "Whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I deny before My Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10:32-33. If young people or older ones really love God and want to obey His will, they will be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Is that not what occurred in the city of Samaria? Acts 8 says the disciples who were scattered abroad because of the persecution that surrounded the death of Stephen went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now please listen to what happened when honest people heard the word of the Lord. When they believed that Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:4-12. When men and women, boys and girls, obey the Lord in baptism, their sins are forgiven, and they are added to the Lord's church. They become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. My young friends, I encourage you to believe in Christ and to obey His gospel. Then I urge you to be faithful to Him so that you may influence others to become New Testament Christians. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.